right, so we come to what I like to call a very fascinating passage of scripture in the book of Exodus. We're going to cover the 10 plagues, and through these 10 plagues, right, God reveals himself. And though these 10 plagues are incredible miracles of God's mighty hand, we have to remember that he has a purpose in it. He has a plan in it. And in Exodus, his word tells us over and over again, you will know that I am Lord. So when God reveals himself to us, one of the very first reasons is because he wants us to know him as Lord. He wants us to know him as Almighty. And then he says this over and over again in the book of Exodus, that they may worship me. So God not only wants you to know him as Lord, he wants you to know him personally and intimately in such a way that you will give your life to him, that you will turn your heart over to him and worship him. He wants to be in an intimate and personal relationship with you and with me. And so that's God's purposes. And we see that in the book of Exodus. Now, very clearly God says that he wants Egypt to know that he is Lord. I mean, he makes that very well known to Moses right off the bat. I want them to know that I am Lord. And he's talking about Egypt. So God wants Egypt to know that he is Lord. We also know that God wants his children, the Hebrews, to worship him. And he wants to set them free from the captivity and the bondage of Egypt so that they may go and worship him. And we're even going to see that in the scriptures tonight. But these 10 plagues, let's talk about those plagues. What are the plagues? Well, the plagues are God's judgments against Egypt and their false gods. That's what the plagues are. They are God's judgments against Egypt and against their false gods. So, before we dig into Exodus, I know that's where I told you to turn and stay there. It's okay. I'm going to have this scripture. I think I have this on the screen. If not, I'm sorry. But I know I got it on your handout. I want to read this passage to you out of Numbers chapter 33. This is what the Bible says in Numbers 33, 3 and 4. It says, the Israelites set out from Ramses on the 15th day of the first month, the day after the Passover. They marched out defiantly in full view of all the Egyptians who were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had struck down among them. For the Lord had brought judgment on their gods. So again, Moses, you know, is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and he's writing these words down, and even in Numbers, he reminds the people what the plagues were all about. They were God's judgments against Egypt and against their false gods. And that's what we see right there in Numbers chapter 33. So God was revealing himself to both Egypt and Israel, but he was revealing himself to the entire world. And what we need to remember is that he alone is God. There is no other God. And man, what a message that was for Egypt. Because Egypt worshipped all kinds of gods. And they also worshipped Ramses, whom they considered to be God on earth. Right? And so this was a powerful message, yes, for the Israelites, yes, for the Hebrews, but specifically for Egypt. So, here we go. Let's talk about the plagues. The first plague is the plague of blood. The plague of blood. And we see that in Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 through 24. So, the Nile River, that was life for Egypt. That's what made it thrive in all of the world. Egypt was located on the Nile River, and the Nile River was life to them. It was also a symbol of fertility. And I don't know if you know this or not in studying, but Egypt actually worshipped three gods that were specifically associated with the Nile River. I'll name them for you. I'll probably not mess it right, but I'll try. Osiris, Nu, and Hapi. Those were the three gods that they worshipped on the Nile River. But God turned that river into blood. And I'll read, and again, I'm not going to read every verse tonight for the sake of time, but I have put the references on your handout. But I do want to read this first passage. Starting in verse 14, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the river. Again, why was he going out to the river? He was going out to the river because guess what they did? They worshiped three different gods who were associated with the Nile River. So he's going out to worship one of his gods on the river. So it says, go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the river. Confront him on the bank of the Nile and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go, so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now, you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. By this, you will know that I am the Lord. You're going to hear that a lot. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. So again, what were the plagues as far as Egypt goes? They were judgments. This was God's first judgment on Egypt and their false gods, the plague of blood. Now, of course, Pharaoh's magicians, if you keep reading, Pharaoh's magicians try to imitate this miracle, but they could not reverse the hand of God. They could not change the water, the blood, back to water. They failed, just like when they tried to turn their staffs into snakes. Moses' staff swallowed theirs whole, right? And so they could not reverse the hand of God. So what did they do? They had to go all around the land and dig into the ground just to find clean water to bathe and to drink with because the Nile River was blood. Now, guess what happened to Pharaoh's heart after this first plague? It was hard. And remember, didn't God tell Moses that that was going to happen? So this should not catch us by surprise. It says that Pharaoh's heart grew even harder. Then we come to plague number two. Plague number two was the frogs. The frogs. So every now and then at our house, because we got a big pond out there by our house, every now and then when it's kind of, I guess early spring, when it kind of starts getting hot and it starts getting a little humid, we are plagued by the frogs. Okay, and I say that, you know, probably not as bad as it was in Egypt, but these frogs are all over our house. And somehow, some way, they find their way into our house. And it's gross. And our dogs like to eat them. And it drives Marty crazy. And I always say that. I'm like, oh, here it is, the plague of the frogs. But it's nothing like this. So in Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, we see the plague of the frogs. Now let me tell you why this was important. Because frogs were symbols of fertility for the Egyptians, as well as life. As a matter of fact, they even had a goddess. Her name was Hequet, who is sometimes pictured when they drew pictures of her. It would show her body with the head of a frog. So yeah, they worshipped this goddess. Frogs were so sacred, they were a sacred animal to Egyptians, that they would not kill them. And you know, there's some theologians that say that if someone killed a frog in public, they could be executed. That's how sacred they were in Egypt. And so God overwhelmed them, right, with their sacred animal. Overwhelmed them. And I say overwhelmed them because they were everywhere. They even made it into the palace. And so this passage in chapter 8 tells us that not only did it make it into the palace, the streets were filled with frogs. And so the magicians once again came out and tried to reverse this plague, but guess what? They could not do it. So, you know, don't pay to see these magicians. It's not worth your money because they can't really do anything with their magic. Pharaoh actually comes to Moses and tries to bargain with him. Tries to bargain with Moses. In essence, he's really trying to bargain with God. And so Moses, right, he does his thing and gets rid of the frogs. But Pharaoh does not keep his end of the bargain. And as a matter of fact, guess what happens to his heart? It gets even harder. And I'm trying to think, like, how can it get any harder? He's already like, But it does. It gets harder. That's what the Bible tells us. So then, since he did not fulfill his part of the bargain, God's third judgment comes in the form of gnats. It's the plague of gnats. And I'm going to tell you, I can't stand gnats. Okay? Some of my buddies got up and went running this morning. At least that's what they told me. And one of the bad things about running in the morning is, you know, right before the sun comes up, gnats are everywhere. And there are times when I come home and I look in the mirror and they're stuck all over my head, all over my neck. Yeah. I'm just trying to make you think how like this is nasty. They're nasty. Nasty. The plague of gnats. And we see this in chapter 8, verses 16 through 19. And listen to how it was described. It says the dust of the ground came alive in the form of these gnats. So you want to ask me how many gnats there were? It says the dust of the ground came alive. Well, that sounds like a lot to me because there's a lot of dirt on the ground. All right? That's how it was described. So the Egyptian god of the desert was the god named Set. Okay? So if you've ever heard of the Egyptian god Set or Seti, he was the god of the desert. But what we see is God's hand was greater than this false god. Because they couldn't pray to their gods to turn it around and change it. Pharaoh's magicians actually said, "This is the finger of God at work." His own magicians, who had been trying to reverse his hand and couldn't, they finally actually say it with their mouths. "This is the finger of God." Yes, it was. And his finger's attached to his hand, and his hand is mighty. That's how his hand is described in Exodus. And so, the plague of gnats hits. You would think Pharaoh would get it. He does not. Guess what happens to his heart? Hey, you sound like a broken record. And you're going to keep sounding like a broken record. His heart grew harder. And so then we come to another very plague. The fourth plague is the plague of flies. The plague of flies. Exodus chapter 8, verses 20 through 31. Now, those first three, the first three plagues were kind of a nuisance. Now the nuisance is growing and it's getting a little worse. They're going to be painful and they're going to be destructive. That's how these next plagues are described. And so each time we see that Pharaoh's heart gets harder and harder. He's not willing to surrender to the hand of God. So how does it describe these flies? Well, the Bible tells us that the Egyptian houses and their ground was full of these flies. So it was on the ground that they were walking on. It was on their walls and their houses. It was on their food. The flies were everywhere. Not just a nuisance, but they were destructive. Why? Why was it this bad? Well, it goes back to the very beginning. What did God want Egypt to know? That He is the Lord. And He wanted His children to be able to worship Him. And so God's mighty hand, now when you look at it, so far we haven't talked about the Israelites, but in this passage, it tells us something very interesting about the Israelites, or the Hebrews. It says that God's mighty hand spared the Hebrews who were in Goshen. And so God's people were actually spared. They were actually protected from His judgment. And Pharaoh's magicians could do nothing. They could do nothing about this plague. And the Bible says that the flies ruined their land. That's what it says. It ruined their land. So now it's more than a nuisance. It's destructive. And so Pharaoh at this point, he asks for Moses to come back. Moses comes back to him. And he tries to bargain again. He tries to bargain with Moses, tries to bargain with God. And so what does God do? He removes the flies. And this is interesting because in verses 30 through 32, the Bible tells us that not one fly remained. I want you to think about that. How many of you at your house right now, you're in the kitchen and there's just that one fly that won't go away? And there's that one fly that you just can't swallow. And it pesters you, don't it? Right? Now think about hundreds and thousands and millions of flies. Okay? But think about this. Watch this. Exodus chapter 8, verses 30 through 32. Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. Like, I can't even comprehend it. I mean, we got flies in this building right now. Right? We were in there, you know, getting pizza ready, and I saw flies flying around. Not a fly remained. How can you not say that's God? How can you not say that that's God? That's God. And yet, guess what happened to Pharaoh's heart? It grew hard. It grew hard. So, judgment number 5, the plague on livestock. Remember what I said. The first 3 plagues were more of a nuisance. The 4th plague, it begins to get destructive. Right? The flies started to destroy the land. Well, now it's the livestock. And this is in Exodus chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. It says that the livestock belonging to the Egyptians died. They just died. But the livestock that belonged to the Israelites lived. Again, coincidence? No. That's the mighty hand of God. And that is God revealing himself to both Egypt and to Israel. So God was making a very clear distinction between his children and the Egyptians who worshiped false gods. The Egyptians worshiped many, many gods that were symbolized by livestock. They worshiped gods and they shaped and formed those gods into images of animals, especially the bull. Because again, just like the frog, the bull represented fertility. They also worshiped 2 goddesses, Hathor and Isis. And Hathor and Isis were symbols of love and beauty and motherhood. Yet they were in the shape and form of livestock, of animals. And so Pharaoh, he sees what's happening. All of his livestock, it's dying. But he sees that all of the Israelites' livestock is alive. Their sheep, their cows, they're still alive. So he investigated and found out that God was sparing the Hebrews, but not sparing the Egyptian livestock. And even when he investigated, do you want to know what it says about Pharaoh? It says Pharaoh's heart was unyielding. His heart was unyielding, and he still would not let the people go. So even though with his own eyes, he sees his animals dropping dead, he sees his land being destroyed by flies, and yet he looks over here and sees the Israelites don't have a fly. And he sees the Israelites have animals that are clean and healthy and alive. His heart was still unyielding. So then we come to something that was destructive and painful.
Yeah.
Yes? Yes.
I kind of wonder, just kind of the way I look at it, he knows what's coming.
Yeah.
But he also knows that there's lots of Hebrews that do not believe the words that Moses says.
That's right. That's right.
So he's revealing himself to them, saying, I will
yes.
be the Lord.
Absolutely.
You,
yeah.
But you have to put your trust in
that's him. Right. That's right. That's that clear distinction I'm talking about. Like, I absolutely believe. So John was saying, you know, those first 3 plagues seem to affect all of them. And most theologians agree that, you know, all of them felt the impact of those first 3 plagues. But that 4th plague with the flies, and then the livestock, and now with the bulls, he's starting to make a clear distinction. And like John said, do you think that was for some of those Hebrews who maybe still were on the edge, maybe still not real sure about Moses? I absolutely believe that. God was revealing himself not just to Egypt, he was revealing himself to Israel too. And he made it very clear what his goal was. The Egyptians will know that I'm the Lord, but my children are going to go into the wilderness, and even in the wilderness, what are they going to do?
Worship.
They're going to worship me. So yeah, I absolutely believe that. So when you get to the 6th plague, the 6th judgment, it's the plague of bulls. It's plague of bulls. And that's in Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 through 12. And let me just tell you, I remember one year I was coaching my basketball team, and I had a bull on my kneecap. You want to talk about a bad place to have a bull, right? First of all, every time you bend, you feel it. And if you're wearing pants, it's rubbing against it and feeling it, okay? To this day, I can still remember the pain that I felt. I had to go get that thing lanced. Like, I'm not trying to disgust you, but it's disgusting. And it's painful. And so, the plague of bulls, what makes it very interesting is the plague of bulls came without warning. It came without warning. It just happened. As a matter of fact, I want to read this passage to you. This is in chapter 9, and it's verses 8 through 12. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take handfuls of soot from a furnace, and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on the people and animals in the land, or through the land.' So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on people and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the bowls that were on them and all of the Egyptians." And look at verse 12. "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses." So once again, God's mighty hand, or as Pharaoh's magician said, the finger of God, God's mighty hand brought the Egyptians down. And this time it wasn't just their land. This time it wasn't just their animals. Now it was them. Now it was their own bodies. It was physical. Now you might ask, and I've had people ask, you might ask, why does God keep allowing Pharaoh to do this? Why does God allow? Why does God even cause these plagues and allow Pharaoh's heart to just get harder and harder and harder? This is what I want to do. When I have questions like that, I go to the Scriptures. I go to the Word of God. Because sometimes I don't get it, and sometimes I don't understand it. But God's Word can give you clarity. And I believe He does. So if you were to ask, why does God keep hardening Pharaoh's heart? Why does God keep using these judgments and the Egyptians keep responding like they do? Well, I want to start off with Romans 8:28. We have to remember what God tells us in the Bible. In Romans 8:28, the Bible says that we know that in what things?
All things.
God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. What is the ultimate goal in the book of Exodus for God? It is to redeem His people. That's the ultimate. It's all about redemption. He is redeeming His children out of Egypt, and He's going to take them to the promised land. And so God is working in all things, even judgments on a nation that is ungodly and worshiping false gods. And even though they're there, God is working in all things for their good. Now, I also love this in Proverbs chapter 16. And I'm pretty sure I put these on your handout, so you should have them all. But Proverbs chapter 16, verses 4 and 5 says, "The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all of the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished." So before any of this started, how was Pharaoh described? Proud and arrogant. That's how he was described. a very proud and arrogant person. And he continues to be proud, continues to be arrogant, and he is rejecting God. He is continually rejecting God. And I believe God is turning him over to that rejection. Pharaoh was proud and arrogant from the very beginning. He kept on denying God, kept on denying God. And I want you to understand a biblical truth. Not just in Exodus, but in the New Testament. Okay? If we reject God, and we keep on rejecting God, even as he continues to reveal himself to us, then our hearts are getting harder and harder and harder. And we will become so proud and so arrogant that we will not be repentant. And if we are not repentant, guess what? We're going to face God's wrath. We're going to face God's wrath. I want to share two more passages with you before we close tonight. And the first one, I love this, Proverbs 28:14. The Bible says, "Blessed is the one who always trembles before God." In other words, the fear of God. The fear of God, right? The one who trembles before God. Holy reverence before God. Fear of God. Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. Okay? So blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens his heart falls into trouble. Now listen to this passage of Scripture closely. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. I could have read the whole chapter, but I tried to spare you and give you the meat. Right here. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. "Although they claim to be wise," Pharaoh, his magicians, "they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles." Now this is Paul talking to the church in Rome thousands of years later. Yet it very easily could fit what? Exodus chapter 7, 8, 9 that we've been reading tonight. So it says, "They exchanged the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles." And here's where it gets, for me, here's where it gets scary. Listen to this, verses 24 and 25. "Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another." They chose to reject God and reject His glory for false gods. And so God says, "You've made your choice, you can have it." He turned them over to it. Verse 25, "They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen." You might ask me, "Jeff, why is that such a scary passage of Scripture?" Because that's happening today. This ain't Egypt. Okay? This ain't Moses. This ain't the Red Sea parting. This is Stark, Louisiana. This is the United States of America. This is in 2025. There are people, God is revealing Himself to them. And you've heard me say this. I believe God reveals Himself to us in two very specific ways. Number one, it's what we call general revelation. You can look around at creation and see God. There are things around us in this world that man can't make. A Creator has to make it. We got to go to Montana earlier and do a wedding, and I don't know how many times I said, "Wow," but Marty got sick of it. And then I looked at her face and she was amazed. I was like, "No, she ain't that sick of it. She just don't want to hear me say it." We saw things like, "What in the world? How could you stand here and not believe that God exists?" Like, He speaks to us. He reveals Himself in general revelation. Okay? But then, the best is right here. We call this specific revelation. We call this the voice of God. It's His Word. It's the Bible. He tells us who He is. He tells us what He has done, what He is doing. He tells us what He will do. He reveals himself to us, and he revealed himself to us in flesh. Because in the Gospel of John, it says the Word became flesh and made himself known among us. So Jesus Christ himself is the revelation of God. So here's the thing. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. God reveals himself to us, and here's the thing. We're going to respond one way or the other. We're either going to respond through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and say, yes, you are God. You are Creator. And you alone are worthy of my worship and my praise. I will worship no other God. Or we will reject him. He's going to keep on revealing. He's going to keep on revealing himself through general revelation, through specific revelation. And if we keep on rejecting, there will come a point where he will give us over to our sinful desires, and our hearts will become so hard. You say, well, Brother Jeff, is it impossible for God to save? No. But when you say no to God, you don't know when your last breath is going to be taken. And once that last breath is taken, there ain't no more chances. We're going to stand before God, every one of us, saved and lost, and have to give an account of every word and every deed in our lives. You're either going to have the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're not. And that's the truth. And that's God is revealing himself to Egypt, to Israel. He wants to be known as the Lord, and he wants to be worshipped. And he knows what Pharaoh is doing. And God is working this out. He's working all things out to its proper end. Am I making that up? No, because I just gave you the scripture in Proverbs. It says, he works everything out to its proper end. And the proper end is the will of God unfolding. And so look, I'm going to stop right here at six plagues, and we're going to cover the rest of them next Sunday night. But God's going to work this out to its proper end. And God is also going to work in all things for the good of those who love him, those who surrender to him through faith. He's going to work it out for their good. So if I have one thing to say tonight after reading this passage, and I'm probably going to say it again next Sunday night because we're still going to see more plagues and we're going to see the most destructive one of all. But that would be, don't reject God. Don't reject God. Surrender to God through repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. It is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. That's my prayer. My prayer is that every one of us, we have surrendered to Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And we are in intimate relationship with God, and we're worshiping God. But here's the thing. If you've rejected God, and you still hear my voice, then God is still revealing himself to you. Because I'm reading the scriptures to you. You can hear it with your ears. That means God is still revealing himself. But buddy, when you come to that place and you ain't hearing the scriptures, and you ain't seeing God, you're in a tough place. And all we can do is pray. That's all we can do.
And in the Bible, it doesn't really go, it doesn't go into the Egyptian side of
right, right.
The general people.
That's right. Yeah, we're only seeing Pharaoh and his leadership. That's
but
right.
You have to know that God could have privately revealed himself.
Absolutely.
To Pharaoh.
Absolutely.
And never revealed to the general population that Pharaoh is not the God that you think
that, he that's is. Right. That's right.
But if you come to me,
yeah,
then I'm who you ultimately are looking for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's right. Yeah. You know, at times I wish there were more chapters and more verses so we could see that flip side.
There have to be Egyptians.
Absolutely.
There have to be Egyptians come to faith.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do believe that. I do believe that. So, and you know, there were probably Hebrews. Right? There were probably Hebrews that left out of there.
Yep.
And they never truly surrendered. Right? They never truly surrendered their own hearts. They were just following the crowd. Right? And again, ultimately, guess what? Every single one of us is going to stand before God. It ain't going to be mom and daddy standing with son, our daughter, and answering for something. No. Every single one of us are going to stand, and we're going to give an account for ourselves. Not our wife, not our children, not our mom, daddy, not me and God. And Jesus. Jesus is the difference.
Amen.
Jesus is the difference. So that would be my prayer, is that we don't reject God, we surrender, and we are in personal, intimate relationship with Him. So, all right, so I covered six plagues tonight. Okay? Which one did, which plague were you irked with the most? Anybody? Probably the blood. Yeah, I thought about that. The bulls did it for me.